Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Darius suggested that I talk about Imam Ali in my sermon today, and more specifically about the last chapter of his life when he was the Khalifa, or the ruler of a vast empire. So I decided to share with you today some of Imam Ali's teachings about good governance and social justice. As you can imagine, this topic is quite relevant to the unrest gripping our nation in the wake of George Floyd's murder at the hands of a white police officer in Minneapolis last week. Let me begin with a quick introduction, and then I will delve into Imam Ali's vision of justice and good governance. Ali was the cousin and son-in-law of Islam's founder, the Prophet Muhammad. Ali is revered by Shiites, Sunnis, and Sufis alike. Throughout the Islamic history, Ali has been known as the champion of social justice. Now, to give you an idea, I'd like to introduce a book to you about Imam Ali. This book was written in the 1960s by Dr. George Jordaug. George Jordaug was a Lebanese and a Christian. He was fascinated by Ali's commitment to social justice as a ruler. George Jordaug spent years researching this subject, and then he wrote a 6-volume masterpiece on Ali. The title of his collection is quite telling. Ali, Sautul Idalat al-Insaniyah. Ali, Humanity's Voice of Justice. Ali, Humanity's Voice of Justice. Quite a profound description for what Ali meant to George Jordaug, a Lebanese Christian, and essentially what Ali stood for and symbolized. The first volume of this collection is titled Ali and Human Rights. The second volume is titled Ali and the French Revolution. And the third volume is titled Ali and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted by the United Nations back in 1948, and all of the member states are supposed to be adhering to this declaration in their treatment of their subjects. Now, in this collection, George Jordaug attempts to show that, number one, justice was the anchor of Imam Ali's beliefs and behavior. Ali was justice-centric. And secondly, George Jordaug attempts to show how advanced Imam Ali's vision and ideas were. He was 1,000 years ahead of his times. And I think George Jordaug is absolutely right on both counts. Now, let me give you a couple of quotes from Imam Ali that shows his grand vision of justice. Al-adlu asasun bihi qawam al-alam. Justice is the bedrock on which the cosmos rests upon. So justice is not limited to human societies and human behavior. No, according to Imam Ali, justice is the bedrock of this cosmos. Now here, justice means balance. God created the universe based on the principle of justice and balance. And therefore, Al-adlu hayat. Al-adl hayat. Life depends on justice. Well, if the universe is built on the principle of justice, if life depends on justice, then we can conclude that the well-being of human society also depends on justice. So Imam Ali says, Al-adlu nizam al-imrah. Justice is the foundation of society and the state. For society to function as God pleases, all its political, judicial, and economic institutions should be founded on justice. Justice should be the guiding principle for organizing social affairs. You see, in the early days of Islam, a segment of the Muslim community actually identified with Imam Ali. They adhered to his vision and teachings. Followers of Imam Ali in the early Islamic period were not called Shiites as they are known today. No, they were called Adliye. Adliye comes from Adl, which means justice. To Ali's followers back then, justice was a defining characteristic of a Muslim. I don't want to make sound bites here or make general statements. Let me share with you a document that Imam Ali wrote 1400 years ago. This document details Imam Ali's vision of a just society, a just social and political system. When Imam Ali was chosen by the people to become the political leader of the Muslim community, when he became the fourth Khalifa, Imam Ali picked one of his trusted aides, Malik Ashtar, to be the governor of Egypt. But before Malik departed for his new post in Egypt, Imam Ali wrote a document or a treatise in which he detailed how Malik should govern in Egypt, how he should treat the people of Egypt. This document is an astonishing manifesto for good leadership, good governance, and respect for human rights. It contains universal and timeless wisdom. In fact, we can apply Imam Ali's teachings today in our society and government. Now, this document is fairly long, and since we have a short time in this sermon, I will share with you excerpts from this masterpiece, about 9 or 10 advices that Imam Ali had for Malik. And I will provide a short commentary for each passage that I will read from that document. So hopefully you will have a better understanding of what Imam Ali is actually saying. The first advice to Malik, the new ruler of Egypt, the land of the pharaohs. Malik, let the dearest of your treasuries be the treasury of your righteous action. Infuse your heart with mercy, love, and kindness for your subjects. Be not in the face of them a ferocious animal, counting them as easy prey. For the people are of two kinds. Either they are your brothers in religion or your equals in creation. really amazing advice. Imam Ali says to Malik that the people are either your brethren in religion or your brethren in kind, in humanity. Either way, all people are your brothers and sisters. Irrespective of their gender, race, ethnicity, religion, or creed, people are members of the same family. So, Malik, treat the people of Egypt as you would treat your own family members, with mercy, love, and kindness. Now, perhaps you see where George Jordaal's inspiration for his book, Ali and Human Rights, came from. In fact, in December of 1997, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary year of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan issued a statement. Kofi Annan actually used the passage that I just cited from Imam Ali's document in his statement to show that human rights is a shared value, a universal value in all cultures and religion. The second advice. Malik, indeed some people do make mistakes, but forgive them as you would like God to forgive you. Imam Ali says that the people are neither angels nor saints. The problem is some folks have a hard time forgiving others because they assume that people are angels, they are saints. So their mistakes are unforgivable. But Imam Ali reminds Malik that the people are neither angels nor saints. They will sin. They will make mistakes. So go easy with wrongdoers. The first remedy for wrongdoing is forgiveness, not punishment or revenge. The next advice. Malik, do not say to people, I am your overlord and dictator, and therefore you must bow to my commands. That will corrupt your heart. That will weaken your faith and create disorder in the state. Imam Ali warns Malik against tyranny. When you go to Egypt, do not rule like pharaohs. Unfortunately, tyranny is a disease that has afflicted Islamic countries for centuries. Their governments carry the title of Islamic, but unfortunately, authentic Islamic values are alien to them. Imam Ali warned Malik that tyranny will corrupt your heart. It will destroy your faith, and it will ruin the precious bond between you and your subjects. Tyranny will destroy the glue that holds society together. What is that glue? Goodwill and trust. Goodwill and trust is the glue that holds the society together. But tyranny destroys the goodwill and the trust of the people towards their leaders. I really wish the rulers of Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and other countries would heed Imam Ali's warning that tyranny will lead to ruin. Tyranny will destroy social order. Here is another passage that reinforces this idea. Malik, remember that mutual trust and goodwill between the ruler and the ruled are bred only through benevolence, justice, and service. So, cultivate goodwill among the people, for their goodwill alone will save you from troubles. Your benevolence to them will be repaid by their trust in you, and your ill treatment will be repaid by their ill will. Really worth to live by in politics. Mutual trust and goodwill is only bred through benevolence. The next advice. Malik, nothing deprives man of divine blessings or excites divine wrath against him more easily than cruelty. For sure, God listens to the voice of the oppressed and waylays the oppressor. Waylay means to intercept, to attack from ambush. امام علی می فرماید که خداوند صدای ستمدیدگان رو می شنوه. دعا و نجوای ستمدیدگان رو می شنوه و همواره در کمین ستمکاران هست. God hears the cries and the pleas of the oppressed. He will unleash his wrath on the oppressors in due time. In due time. Oppressors should not rejoice in committing cruelty against the weak, against the defenseless. As the Quran declares, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. That's in chapter 89, verse 14. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Surely your Lord is always watchful. The Lord is always watchful, and He will not ignore what the oppressors commit. He will not ignore and disregard the cruelty that oppressors commit against the voiceless and the oppressed. And in due time, He will unleash His wrath on the oppressors. The next advice. Malik, maintain justice in administration and impose it on your own self and seek the consent of the people. Here Imam Ali articulates his vision of good governance. Good governance rests on two principles, justice and the consent of the people. Justice and the consent of the people is the foundation of good governance. In a nutshell, this is actually what modern democracies stand for. This is what American democracy and all democracies around the world cherish and promote. Remember, Imam Ali wrote this document in the 7th century AD. At the height of the Dark Ages in Europe, when Europe was dominated by the tyranny of the Pope and aristocracies. In that dark chapter of human history, Imam Ali envisioned an alternative form of government, a government that represents the will of the people and upholds justice. That's why Dr. George Ordaq, in his collection of work, Ali Sautul Idalat al-Insaniyah, Ali, Humanity's Voice of Justice, essentially says that Ali was 1,000 years ahead of his time. His ideas, his vision of good governance was 1,000 years beyond his times. The next advice, Malik. Keep close to yourself the morally upright and the God-aware, and make clear to your advisors that they are never to flatter you and never to give you credit for any good that you may not have done. For the tolerance of flattery and unhealthy praise stimulates pride in man and makes him arrogant. Imam Ali's advice is really much needed in Washington today. A good leader will not surround himself with folks that feed him flattery and undue praise. Flattery feeds arrogance, and arrogance will make the leader deaf and blind. And then he will not be able to hear or see the truth. And that's how empires fall. That's how empires disintegrate. Arrogance is the worst quality for a leader. Now, in this document, Imam Ali also spends considerable time to address the issue of poverty and the plight of the poor. Let me share a couple of these passages with you. Malik, then there is the class of the poor and the needy, whose maintenance is an obligation on the other classes. God has given appropriate opportunity of service to one and all. In other words, according to Imam Ali, the poor should not be looked down upon. No, they should be looked after with dignity and compassion. Those who are more fortunate and the state, they have an obligation to alleviate the suffering and the hardships of the poor. Malik, beware. Be mindful of God when dealing with the problem of the poor who have none to patronize them. For God's sake, Malik, safeguard their rights. For on you rests the responsibility of protecting their interests. Do not let any preoccupation slip them from your mind. For no excuse whatsoever for the disregard of their rights will be acceptable to God. It is this section of the people which, more than any other, deserves benevolent treatment. You see, Imam Ali here is really getting his inspiration from the Holy Quran. As the Holy Quran repeatedly informs us, God loves the benevolent and the merciful. And who is more deserving of our benevolence than the less fortunate amongst us? I think the illustrious Persian poet Sa'di has beautifully captured the wisdom in Imam Ali's advice to Malik in this poem. بنی آدم اعضای یک پیکرند که در آفرینش ز یک گوهرند چو عضوی به درد آورد روزگار دگر عضوها را نماند قرار تو که از مهنت دیگران بی غمی نشاید که نامت نهند آدمی Human beings are members of a whole in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members uneasy will remain. If you have no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain. So profound. This poem of Sa'di is so profound that in fact it is written on the wall of one of the halls of the United Nations. the next advice of Imam Ali. Malik, meet the oppressed and the lowly periodically in an open conference, and be conscious of God's presence there. Have a heart-to-heart talk with them, and let none of your armed guard or civil officers or members of the police or the intelligence department be by your side, so that the representatives of the poor might state their grievances fearlessly and without reserve. For I have heard the Messenger of God say that no nation in which the strong do not discharge their duty to the weak will occupy a high position. You see, leaders typically like to hear praises, but great leaders show a willingness to hear criticism and grievances, and that requires humility. Imam Ali states that good governments go beyond tolerating criticism and dissent. They actually welcome criticism. They solicit criticism from their citizens. Imam Ali asks Malik to set up a forum or a channel for disgruntled citizens to freely express their grievances. Let me share with you one more advice that Imam Ali has for Malik before I close my sermon. Malik, beware. Abstain from shedding blood without a valid cause. There is nothing more harmful than this, which brings about one's ruin. Shedding the innocent's blood shortens the life of a state. On the day of judgment, it is this crime, killing the innocent, for which one will have to answer first. So beware. Do not wish to build the strength of your state on blood, for it is bloodletting which ultimately weakens the state and passes it into other hands. Before me and my God, no excuse for killing the innocents can be entertained. Now compare Imam Ali's words to Malik 1400 years ago with what ISIS, the Taliban, and other terrorist groups do these days. They send suicide bombers to kill people indiscriminately. These animals received their inspiration from Hitler, not from the Quran or Imam Ali. Imam Ali issues a stern warning. در روز قیامت نخستین چیزی که خداوند درباره اون حکم میکنه خونهایی است که به ناحق بر زمین ریخته شده. On judgment day, the first cases that will be judged are the ones involving the blood of the innocents. The first group that will be tried are those who have shed the blood of innocent people. And Imam Ali gets his inspiration from the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran tells us that killing an innocent is tantamount to killing all humanity. Killing one innocent person is a crime against humanity. And that's what our holy book teaches us. That's the standard that Muslims and the so-called Islamic governments should live by. In 2002, the United Nations Development Program published a report. In that report, the UN organization used excerpts from Imam Ali's letter to Malik Ashtar and advised Islamic countries to take Ali's example to establish governments based on justice and democracy. How Imam Ali, a man with no schooling, no formal education, no training in political philosophy, could possibly pen down these ideas is simply beyond belief. So in closing, I encourage all of you to read the full text of Imam Ali's letter to Malik Ashtar in Nahjul Balagha, or in the Peak of Eloquence.